anecdotes about Lynn. Gleaned from several issues of The Whiting Tree by Lewin Hunter. Men Were Needed. By Ray Brown. Lynn had trouble with his health in that his food did not go into his stomach properly. This was a difficult thing in a world where hard physical work was so important. Men were needed who had large shirts and small hats. There were no soft jobs. Life consisted of chopping wood, fence posts, post holes, harnessing horses and mules, building houses, farming, milking and rounding up and throwing cows for branding. I remember spending several months at the homestead during the influenza epidemic, which was killing people all over the nation. Uncle Lynn and I were not in very good health, so we avoided exposure. We had only one tame mule and one very wild one. Uncle Lynn claimed the wild mule could kick an apple off the top of his head. To go to town in a buggy, we had to harness the wild mule. Uncle Lynn first had to lasso him, then throw him down to put the harness on. To throw him, he tied the mule to a tree in the corral, lassoed his hind feet, and stretched him out until he fell down, then tied his feet together and put on a bridle and harness. Blindfolding the mule, he then released him and maneuvered the mule to the buggy. With a long stick, he fastened the mule's harness to the buggy. Then Uncle Lynn and Aunt Gladys climbed in the buggy and I had to pull the blindfold off and jump in the back of the buggy, as the mule began to run. That mule didn't stop running for nearly 8 miles. He was dragging both the buggy and the tame mule. Cattle Drive. By Gladys Whiting. Uncle Ralph bought 400 head of Longhorn cattle from Texas and brought them into southeastern Arizona, where we met him with a wagon and a horse. Then we took them to the homestead, grazing as they went, since that was all the food they had. There was no grass due to a bad snowstorm. They were starving and about ready to die. When we got as far as 8 Mile Knoll, we got some blow torches and burned all the thorns off the cactus for the cows to eat. The trip took about 2 weeks. Both Lynn and I were on horseback. I rode Minute the entire way. Cars. By Min Whiting Priestley. After Lynn came home from studying auto mechanics in Chicago, Dad bought a car. I think it was a Maxwell, and shortly thereafter, we went on a trip to Springerville with Dad, Mother and Eddie. Eddie kept telling Lynn how to drive until Pa told him to stop telling him anything, because he had never driven a car, and he thought Lynn would do better on his own, because he was the one we sent to Chicago to learn about cars. Eddie responded, "Well, I know the theory." And Pa said, "We need more than theory." I felt prouder to ride in that car with Lynn driving than any car since. Lynn taught all the rest of us to drive. Family Trips. By Geraldine Sagers. Lynn always took his family with him whenever he could. He took them when he was just going to work on the farm, uptown, or to the mountains. He took them to Holbrook, Phoenix, or Los Angeles. It didn't matter if school was going or not, if he could, he took his family. He said he thought they could learn a lot from those trips that they could not learn in school. I'm sure they learned one thing real well, and that was their father loved them very much, and wanted their company wherever he went. The Yellowstone Trip. By Gladys Whiting. Once we took all the kids to Yellowstone Park. We stopped at one of the lakes to camp. Lynn and the boys slept down by the car and the rest of us slept in the car. During the night we heard noises, something was tearing things out of our lunchbox. Harvey jumped up and saw a bear right in the picnic area. The bear started to run with our loaf of bread and Harvey followed him. We only had the bread to eat and were not near a store. Harvey was gone a long time, but when he finally returned, he had the entire loaf of bread. The bear had torn a hole in the sack and as each slice fell, Harvey picked it up. More about the Yellowstone Trip. By Rex Whiting. In 1933, Dad received a check in the mail from the insurance company. The doctors expected him to die within a year and the insurance company paid in advance. Daddy bought a 1933 four-door Ford, and we loaded it with food, tents, bedrolls, and luggage and the family headed for Yellowstone, where we took pictures of a bear and the park. We camped by the river and Harvey caught a fish in one stream and cooked it at another. We had good meals, campfires, and lots of stories. In the night, Mother heard pots and pans jingling and someone in our lunch box. The first thing anyone knew, Harvey was chasing a bear with a loaf of bread in its mouth. Daddy put the chuck box on top of the car and kept the gun handy. On the way back from Yellowstone, we visited Uncle Frank, probably in Salt Lake. Then we came down through Cedar City, then went to Zion National Park where we camped overnight. We were traveling through Five Mile Canyon down a steep grade. Everyone was watching the beautiful scenery, everyone except Mom. Just as the car tire touched the side of the road, Mom grabbed the steering wheel and pulled the car back onto the road. I had never seen my dad so scared. He promised never again to complain when she said something about his driving. We had eight in that little car, and there was never any fighting or complaining. We really enjoyed the trips. We were the envy of all the kids in school. Before I was 9, I had been to Los Angeles, San Francisco, Yellowstone Park, and the Chicago World's Fair. Lynn and Gladys Farm. By Rex Whiting. I have special memories of my father, even though I was 9 years old when he died. We had a home in St. John's, on a piece of property known as the Chapman Place. Daddy added 2 rooms onto the original 2 rooms. When I was very young, my father, Grandpa Whiting, and my mother's brother Uncle Bob, built the cellar. It was about 24 feet by 30 feet with 30-inch sandstone walls, a cement floor and a single small window on the east. We had a large barn, a large chicken coop, a blacksmith shop and a garage. We also had a honey house on the northwest side of the house. Above the Lyman water ditch, we had a bee apiary with about 45 swarms of bees. Daddy would get over 100 gallons of honey each year from his bees. He would take the honey clear up to Nutrioso, Lina, and Alpine to sell or trade. He enjoyed trading honey for cheese from Bishop Wilkins. Daddy loved that cheese. Daddy planted over 100 peach trees east of the cellar. They bore so heavily that we had to prop them up so the limbs would not break. They were really delicious. Lynn and Gladys Farm. By Geraldine Sagers. Uncle Lynn's farm was a special place. After they moved to the Chapman Place from their house in town, he built his barn, kernels, silo, machine shop and other things. He took great pride in working on his place. We children were always welcome to go to their home and stay as long as we wanted to. Neither he nor Aunt Gladys objected to an extra 1 or 2 for mealtimes. We ate a lot of meals there. We could pile several riders on Old Blue, play in the barn on the hay, race down the silo slope when that wasn't in use, or try out a new bicycle. Their back screen porch was a cool and inviting place to sleep. I don't know how many could fit on the beds there. For a number of years, Uncle Lynn gathered produce to take to the fairs. He would choose the very best of each item. I can still see him running his fingers over an ear of corn and explaining why the one with the nice even rows would be more apt to win a prize than the larger uneven ones. We children looked forward to his return from the state fairs in Phoenix to see if we had won any prizes. Okies. By Rex Whiting. I remember a trip I took with Daddy to Flagstaff. Dad had grown a lot of potatoes he was trying to sell. He had heard there were a lot of Okies camped out near Flagstaff. Harvey, Lola, and Ivy were in school, so he loaded up some potatoes and took me with him because Mother was sick. On the way up, he talked to me and told me a lot of important things. I don't remember it all, but I knew it was important and it made me feel big. We arrived at the camp and the people were all over. My daddy was a good businessman, but when he saw those people, he must have really felt bad about their condition. I remember Mother taking him to task and telling him he didn't even make expenses. His reply was, "That must have been the same condition the Mormons were in when they were driven out of Missouri." I didn't hear any more about it. Spirituality. By Lola Whiting. Daddy was never able to attend church much because of his health, but he always tried to attend stake conference. He would discuss it for weeks afterward. Dad always made the visits from the ward teachers a special time. He told us that they were messengers from our Father in heaven. When we left for Sunday school each week, Dad would give us a scripture to think about during the sacrament. He told us that if we would think about this during the sacrament, we would not be making noise. I remember coming home from church to find Mom and Dad reading the scriptures. Dad would tell us he had our scripture for next Sunday. I'm sure he pondered it all week. He taught his family to recognize the help of the Lord. He would say, "Acknowledge the hand of the Lord in all things." This phrase is quoted often by his wife and children. As I look back, I am sure he got his spirituality from his parents. Grandma Mariah would not let anyone stay home from church to help with Grandpa just before he died. She said that was her job. One Sunday, I remember looking back during sacrament meeting and seeing her stand in the foyer. I thought for sure something had happened to Grandpa. I was so scared I jumped up and ran to her crying. She explained that she had come over to take the sacrament and to renew her covenant with the Lord. This has always been a testimony to me. Thrift. By Ivy Whiting. Dad said he never spent any of his money because he always gave it to Mama. To further stress this point, he asked Mom if she still had the $8 he had given her last year. She went to the bedroom and from under the mattress drew a little purse. When she opened it, there was the $8. He rewarded her for her thriftiness by giving her eight more. It was a tradition and an incentive to save their money. If you could save a dollar, he would give you another to go with it. Thrift. By Lola Whiting. Dad was always proud of Mom and how little she could get by on. When we lived in Los Angeles, the truck drivers always stayed at our house while they were in town. One month Mom only spent $11 to feed all of us. Thrift. By Rex Whiting. We always had plenty of chickens, dogs, turkeys and ducks. We raised, bottled, canned, dried, jerked, smoked, or cured nearly everything we ate except flour, sugar and salt. Mother said one year she only spent $30 at a store for household food. Thrift. By Candace Whiting. I remember wanting to go to the 4th of July races, but I didn't have a good dress to wear. Mother got up early and by 9 in the morning she had Marlon and I new dresses. She never wasted a bit of material. From what was left over she would make ribbons to go in our hair. She reminds me of a little saying that goes like this: "I have done so much for so long with so little, I am now qualified to do anything with nothing." California Adventures. By Jay Whiting. We moved to Los Angeles in the summer of 1933. It was not long after this that Uncle Lynn and his family came out here. I remember they moved to Alhambra and lived not too far from us. I remember going to church with Lola and Harvey. Uncle Lynn ran a service station at 32nd Street and Main Street in Los Angeles, and from this location the first Whiting Brothers freight line trucks operated. Uncle Lynn had a truck and Uncle Eddie had one and the brothers in Holbrook had a couple. I worked for Uncle Lynn and I well remember catching the red car near our home and riding it to downtown Los Angeles and then the streetcar to 32nd Street. I sometimes worked a little late, and I remember that it was a real adventure for me to go home by downtown Los Angeles and then on to Alhambra. Uncle Lynn was very kind to me and trusted me with the service station. It was so much fun to go down there and go with the drivers and pick up freight and get the trucks ready to go back to Arizona. Storytelling. By Joyce L. Cooper. Remember the experience Lee Berry tells about? It seems that he went with Uncle Lynn on an overnight trip to Hollywood. They hitched up the team and away they went in the wagon. They got caught in a cloudburst, lost a wheel, the team ran away, and everything else that could go wrong, did. By the time they got home, Lee was fit to be tied, and couldn't remember when he'd had a worse time. Well, that night they all gathered down at Grandpa Whiting's and Uncle Lynn started telling about their trip. Lee said it was the funniest thing he had ever heard, and they all laughed so hard they could hardly talk. He said he wished they could take the trip all over again because it sounded so funny. Now Uncle Lynn could have griped, moaned, and groaned, and made everyone miserable, but he had such a sense of humor that he made everything fun and turned a wretched trip into a real adventure that Lee would never forget. Devotion. by Geraldine Sagers. His life was wholly devoted to his family and close friends. He never accumulated a lot of riches nor worldly wealth. What he had, he freely shared. Those who knew him still repeat his humorous sayings and remember his kindnesses to them. Yes, Uncle Lin, we are glad to be a part of your family. Devotion. By Rex Lin Whiting, grandson. My father named me after my grandfather, and my son has his name. Devotion. By Marlon Whiting. Whenever any of us met someone who knew we were Lin's children, they always left us with a feeling of the great respect and love they had for our father. Posterity. By Ruth Lewis. We mourned with Aunt Gladys over the three babies they lost. When I see their little graves near my father's and mother's graves, I remember how hard it was on them. How they both loved their children. Whenever Lin went any place, he took his family. We'd see his car and it was full of children. I think he must have known his days were numbered, and he wanted to spend every moment he could with his family, and especially Aunt Gladys. They were married less than 19 years and we could all take a lesson from him of filling the hours and days with happiness and love. Gladys Dedication. By Wayne Whiting. After my dad and Harvey passed away, the family was sad and very insecure, and we went through a long period of mourning. My mother would often cry and became overprotective of her children. Nevertheless, my mother was dedicated to one purpose, and that was her children, and she was determined that she would be both mother and father to us. I know she stuck very close to the values and principles my father had clung to so dearly, and she found great strength in this. In all my life, I have never heard my mother say anything negative about my father, and she would always quote him when trying to impress manly attitudes in us and the virtues necessary in learning to live in a fatherless world. From the first, I instinctively understood my mother's love for my father and her determination to bring their life to a successful conclusion. She dedicated herself to the raising of her children, as she felt my father would have done, and has never varied from the single duty. When possible, she worked for wages as a cook, in a dry cleaner's, as a maid in a hotel, and any place she could provide additional income for her family. In consumer finance, she managed on what little income she had, and I never remember wanting for necessities. I knew the Lord was with her, and guided and directed her in this task. I also know my father is well pleased with my mother, and has prepared for their reunion, anxiously awaiting her return to her Father in heaven so they can get on with their lives together. Chariots. Lin made chariots and raced them in competitions. During the race, the participants wore costumes which left one shoulder bare. Because of his modesty and religion, Lin wore a modified version. Old Minute and Eddie's beautiful sorrel, Old Sparks, were teamed when he won the first chariot race between St. John's and Springerville in a matched event. On the first day of the Eager race, Eager hooked the horses up in the conventional way. Lin hooked his up Roman style, with a tall braid in such a way that the horse pulled the chariot with his tail. The second day of the race, Eager came with their horses hooked up the way Lin had his on the first day. In this photo, Lin Whiting is second in line,